Nothing is more gay than this.
Everyone's so gay. Everyone's so hot. There is absolutely something for everyone.
Yep, that's a queer vibe.
She is gay.
Incredible! I'm like, this does not feel heterosexual at all.
No. This is a gay movie. Hello, and welcome to The Gaily Planet, a podcast that might be becoming a Star Trek The Next Generation podcast. I am Lark Malachi Gray.
And I am Jesse Blount. And today we are talking about episode 4 of season 1 of The Next Generation, Code of Honor.
Otherwise known as the widely agreed upon second worst episode of all Star Trek franchises.
Yep.
Which is, like, correct. I haven't seen every episode of Star Trek, but, like, I think that that's probably true.
This is definitely, I don't remember all of the episodes of The Next Generation, even though I watched it multiple times as a kid. This is definitely probably one of the worst sci-fi television show episodes I've ever put into my eyeballs. Yeah. Which is saying a lot, I think.
Yeah, and I've watched the whole series twice previous to this, but I had not watched this episode. The first time that we were watching Star Trek, you know, like the first episode, there's some like kind of weird race stuff with like the whole Q thing. And so I was already sort of on guard. And then we got to this episode and I was like, Evan, I don't know if I can fucking watch this show. Like, I don't know. And he was like, let's just skip this episode. We're trying to give it a chance. I know you're bad at watching new things. Like, this feels really not great, but people love this show. Let's just skip this episode. So we did. And then the second time we watched it, we got to the beginning and we're like, oh no, it's that episode. And we just skipped it again. So this was my first time watching this travesty.
Yeah. And, do you want to tell the folks what this just god-awful episode is about?
Yes, I will cut that in now. All right, so if you don't want to listen to the recap, go ahead and skip forward about 4.5 minutes. So in this incredibly fucked up episode, what happens is that the Enterprise is trying to get a vaccine for a plague that's like sweeping across this Federation planet. They can't make the vaccine, but there's a non-Federation planet that can. So they're doing diplomacy with this planet. The leader of the, like, I don't know, town, city, whatever that they're communicating with, and his, like, first mate, their names are Lutan and Hagon. They beam up to the Enterprise. Hagon's like, hey, here's a sample of the vaccine. And Yar's like, how dare you walk towards my captain? And she throws him on the floor because she has no self-control. And instead of being mad, Lutan is like, whoa, that was super hot. So they, like, you know, do diplomatic things. And then when it's time for them to go back to the planet, he kidnaps Yar. And Picard's like, we have to go to war with them. And Data is like, no, I, you know, searched my index. And this is a similar thing to what American First Nations people did, and it's like a sign of honor, and we should do diplomacy. And Picard's like, okay. And so he goes down to the planet and is like, hey, let me get Yar back. And Lutan's like, oh no, I can't do that. I want to have her be my quote-unquote first one, because he has lots of wives, and this episode's really fucked up. Okay, so he's like, I want her to be my first one. And then, like, his current first one, whose name is Yarina, is like, what the fuck? I will fight her to the death. And Picard and Troy go see Yar where she's being kept and are like, so what do you want to do? And she's like, I mean, I love fighting, so that's fine. And Troy's like, also, are you, like, kind of into this? And Yar's like, well, as an incredibly heterosexual woman, I obviously am very into being kidnapped and forced into marriages as long as the dude is super hot. And Picard is like, this is none of my fucking business. I'm going to go do fake diplomacy under Troy's guidance about, you know, basically being a misogynist to connect with Lutan. So he goes to him and is like, women, am I right? And Lutan's like, oh my God, you get me. And is like, here's the deal. In our society, women own all of the land and all of the wealth, but like men control it. And so if Yar defeats Yarina, I will inherit her land and wealth. And that'll be super. And so Picard's like, rad, I will tell Yar to fight. And then, you know, off-camera subterfuge plans happen, and we don't know what they are. And then we cut to the fight where Yar and Yarina are both wearing these, like, big metal gloves with, like, poison on them. And then, obviously, Yar wins, and like right after she stabs Yarina, she like jumps on her body, and then they get beamed up to the Enterprise, and Crusher brings Yarina back to life. And then Lutan comes up to the ship and he's like, you tricked me. Like, we're not doing diplomacy anymore and you can't have the vaccine. And they're like, technically, we didn't trick you because Yar did win and Yarina did die. We have the death certificate right here, but also we brought her back with science. So technically, you are now divorced and all of the land and wealth that was formerly yours is not anymore. So you're not the boss anymore. And Yarina is like, hang on, Lutan's, you know, first mate, who has clearly been super into her this whole time and was like very upset when she got stabbed. She's like, you should be my new number one. And he's like, great, love that. And she's like, Yar, do you want Lutan? And Yar's like, I mean, as an incredibly heterosexual woman, he's very hot, but like, I have to work, so no thanks. And Yarina's like, Lutan, you can be like my number five now, I guess. And they give the vaccine to the Enterprise, and they're gonna go cure the plague. And somewhere along the line, Wesley and Picard became friends. The end. All right, so just a reminder before we officially get started, you know, every episode's longer on Patreon. Consider joining us there if you like what we do. And our patrons are the whole reason that we are able to make podcasts. So thank you to all of you who are already supporting us.
Yeah, thanks everyone. And just a reminder, you should leave us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes. You're definitely welcome to leave us reviews on other platforms. We especially appreciate ones on Apple because it really helps people find our podcast and makes us feel good.
Yeah, a lot of podcatchers get all of their reviews through Apple. So like if you see that we have, you know, several hundred reviews or whatever, those weren't left on the platform that you're listening on. If you're not on Apple, they were left on Apple. So that's why we specify that one. Anyway, yeah, let's do this thing. Do you have headlines for us?
I do not, because I was having a real hard time trying to find a funny headline for this.
You know what? I think that is perfect. Like, actually, really quick, speaking of headlines and reviews, we have gotten a couple of really sweet reviews from people who were like, I found you because I'm looking for Star Trek podcasts and I'm so excited and I hope that you do this. And like one of them was like, I love that they have these sections. And I was like, oh, if you started with our podcast or with our Star Trek stuff, you don't know why we have those sections. So I'm just going to really quick be like, because we're a quote unquote newspaper, the Gaily Planet. It's a newspaper pun. And we have newspaper sections so that we can stay on topic because we have ADHD.
Exactly. And it makes it easier if there's a section of this podcast that you're like, oh, I don't really want to hear about the politics of this incredibly racist episode. You can just skip it.
You might want to skip the whole episode.
I actually do have some not racist things to talk about this episode. Not much.
No. Me too. I always do my best to be like, we're gonna find some fun things. And yeah, we're good at that. I think that's why we're good at our jobs. Anyway, so all that said, welcome to the front page where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else.
So, Data, says one of the things that he says in this episode is like, how can a thing be too efficient? And I feel like that is peak. I don't understand neurotypical. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. I truly wanted to know what that meant, too. I was like, Jordy, explain that. Do you mean that it, like, sloughs off your skin, or that you, like to have a little stubble, you know? Because there's a lot of space between those two things. And those are the only two things I can think of. Listeners, he's talking about shaving. Data invented the most efficient shaver, and Jordy's like, too efficient, my guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so my first thing is that for some reason, Picard is like, we're doing gifts, we're doing this whole honor thing, and he like gives the people from this planet, I only wrote down the dude's name. Anyway, he gives Lutan a toy pony.
Essentially.
And Lutan is like, thank you. In the same way that I think I would respond if someone presented me with a toy pony.
You know, I was literally like, what is this whack-ass gift you're giving them, Picard? Like, really?
It's so, like, why does he give them a pony? I get that it's like, you know, apparently this, like, you know, relic from the 13th century or whatever. And Picard is a, like, you know, old things guy, which makes it really funny that he gets the date wrong in this episode. I was like, he would never. He writes boring papers to present at archaeological conferences.
Yeah, dude, Picard loves an antique. I understand. I also love an antique. But yeah, I really feel like you couldn't have gotten them literally anything cooler. Like, do they even have horses on this world? Are they going to be like, okay, cool, thanks?
Right. I mean, Lutan does not seem impressed by the pony at all.
I like ponies, and I'm like, I wouldn't be impressed either, Picard. I'm like...
Yeah. Stick a horn on it, and I would be over the fucking moon. But, like, just a regular horse. And listeners, if there's any, like, weird horse people out there who are like, that is not a pony, I know. I call everything that could possibly be confused with a pony, and you can't stop me.
All right, so there's, in my estimate, only two good things in this episode.
Okay.
One of them I actually have in personals. But the other thing is when Picard is starting to, like, monologue, and then he stops and is like, I'm sorry, this is becoming a speech.
Uh-huh.
Is possibly one of the funniest thing. Weird, because again, we haven't even gotten to a point in the series where Picard is known for like his intense speeches and monologues, but it's still deeply funny to me.
Yeah. And Troy's like, no, it's fine. And he's like, it's not fine. Okay.
Troy's here to validate everyone's feelings. That's why she's like, you can keep going if you want, Picard.
Yeah. Yeah. I did think it was just, like, so silly when Troy is showing them the holodeck. She's like, I'm going to show you my training program. And she, like, puts on, like, just the jacket part of an Aikido uniform before.
Yeah,
I'm like, why?
Yeah. It's deeply silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very funny. I think the only explanation is that gays love a little outfit.
Yeah, that's true. So we get this thing at some point when Data's presenting some, like, objectively incorrect information. He is like, French is like an antiquated language. And I wanted to know if you think that this is written in as an explanation for why Picard is French but has a British accent. Are we supposed to believe that French is now like Latin, that it's like a dead language by the time we're in Starfleet?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Because in general, it is confusing that a lot of Star Trek characters don't have accents. And, like, you know, bigger conversation about why everyone speaks English, blah, blah, blah. But I'm also kind of like, that is also the thing with, like, airplanes, IRL, where, like, English is the international flight language for whatever fucking reason. So, yeah, I think this is an in-world explanation of being, like, we've gotten rid of a lot of culture artifacts, like, different languages, because we've evolved beyond that in a way that's very, like, okay, that seems... All right. That seems fine for a show made by people who are American. All right.
Interesting. I didn't hear it as, like, a lot of languages are dead now so much as just, like, French specifically was dead now. Because, I mean, Picard has a British accent. So clearly, like, accents still exist. And I know that, like, M'Benga in the original series... Well, I don't know. Actually, I've never watched the original series, but in Strange New Worlds, he has an accent. I don't know. So I think at least I didn't get the impression of, like, everyone on Earth speaks English now so much as, like, French. We were done with French. Like, I don't know.
I feel there's a different joke in there about this, but I don't know enough about the English-French centuries-long tiff to comment on it.
True. So
if you are French or English, please... write to us, because I'm sure you could do a better joke about this than we could.
All right. My last thing here is that I, you know, appreciate the scene between Geordi and Data about Data learning to tell jokes.
It's really cute.
Anytime we get the two of them together, I'm going to be happy about it. So,
yeah, that's the other good part of this episode is them interacting. I'm like... a little bit of fresh air.
Yeah. Teensy bit. Yep. Welcome to the style and fashion section, where we talk about aesthetics. And remember that there's an image roundup for every episode. So if you want to look at what we're talking about while we talk about it, click the link in our show notes or head to #ruthless.com/thegaylyplanet.
I really only have one thing here, which is maybe the only good outfit, in my opinion, which is towards the end of the episode when Yarina is about to fight Yar. She comes out in this metallic hoodie, and then underneath the hoodie is a, like, metallic jumpsuit. Like, is it shorts? Like a short jumpsuit.
I don't know, but it's gorgeous. I have so many exclamation marks after it.
It is the only good piece of costuming in an episode that is full of really cringe costuming choices.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you look great. So.
Yeah, no, she looks amazing.
I know.
I noted the weird, like, jellyfish lamp in the room where they're having their sort of, like, meeting about the fight and whatever, when they, like, bring Yar her weapons and stuff. There's this lamp.
Is it circular? The globe-looking one?
It's kind of globey, but, like, kind of amorphous at the same time, and it's, like, white and has sort of, like, holes in, kind of. I don't know. I was like, that's weird and cool. I like it. And then my final fashion thing today is at the end of the episode, the second sweater that Wes wears, I was like, Wes is dressed for Tatooine today.
I know. They brought back his gray Kuji sweater and, like, leggings, which I'm like, this is actually, I'm like, not really on trend, because I don't think leggings as pants is on trend anymore. But I'm like, oversized sweater leggings combination was definitely, for a long time, such an on-trend look. But yeah, his brown sweater.
The brown one, right? He really looks like he's going to go, you know, work in a pub, give Luke Skywalker some weird yak milk or whatever it is that they have there.
Yep.
Welcome to the politics section, where we talk about things that are fucked up.
Which is, if you watch this episode, the entirety of this episode... I don't know why people were like, this is totally fine when they were making it, because it's totally not fine. The optics of this episode is god-awful. Yeah, it's just, I have so many notes.
For real. No, the number of times that I just was like, yikes. Like,
yeah.
What? And, like, there's all the big ones, but then there's like, there were like little tiny things where I was like, you did that too. Like, yeah. I don't know. For some reason, at some point, they're like looking at the like wall of weapons, and one of them has like, there's like a sword where the sheath is like cheetah skin or something like that. And I was like, you guys.
Yeah.
I know that we already crossed the line, but like, I think that there are like stages of crossing the line, and you just keep like going further and further and further. Anyway, yes, please start wherever your notes begin.
All right, so we're gonna start off real strong. My notes start off, it's like, so okay, just that this whole civilization is like the most racist caricature of African people you could possibly imagine outside of potentially the worst porn you'd ever seen in your life. it's really, it's hitting so many notes. Like, we got the noble savages trope where they're like super proud and they have all these, and it's all like vintage misogyny, and it's all like very like they're a little bit technologically backwards, even though they still have this medically advanced enough to have this vaccine that Starfleet doesn't even have. So right. It's already very confusing. But that was already bad enough. But then we get into the hypersexual and hyper violent black men that drives the plot of this episode, which is just like, this is racism that's so vintage. It's like, This sort of same plot point of like a black dude kidnapping a like white lady to be like, oh, I'm just so overcome with lust for you, is literally in Birth of the Nation, the film that really kicked, that really brought the resurgence of the KKK. And I'm just like, if your episode somehow has context in common with fucking Birth of a Nation, someone should have been like, are we sure about this?
I am so flabbergasted by the fact that no one was like, you guys, I don't think we should do this. Or like, if we're gonna make this episode, we should probably make these aliens either white people or like blue, you know?
Yeah, so, and this is the weird thing, is that, so, in looking up stuff off this episode, a ton of actors in Star Trek are like, this is literally the worst episode ever. Like, I'm gonna talk a little bit about Jonathan Franks, who plays Riker, goes in a hole. This is literally the worst thing to happen to Star Trek. And I'm like really glad that everyone's like, wow, this is god awful. But it turns out that in the original script, it's supposed to be like lizard people, which is okay, fine. And somehow between the script and the director, who, by the way, they fire halfway through filming of this because A, I guess he's really mean to all the black actors who they bring on, and B, decided to make this just hella racist for no fucking reason, you know? But I'm still just like, multiple people made the costumes, were like in the like videoing, and they're everyone, and no one was just like, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we can throw in some white actors in the background, like something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think especially like, you saying that they were supposed to be, you know, humanoid. I don't know what they mean when they say lizard people, but we have a lot of aliens, you know, so where they were going to put like a prosthetic forehead on, which is our like default. It's an alien, but, you know, still has four limbs and whatever, stands upright. Makes so much of the dialogue make more sense, too, where it was like, this is so similar to like, you know, the like human history and whatever. I feel like would like feel much more natural if it was like, this is a species that doesn't look like us.
Yeah.
Whereas like, this is a species that is just humans, you know?
Yeah, it's just black people. So saying like humanoid is just like, then brings the extra layer of like, oh, so black people aren't human? Is that what you're trying to, like, black people are less than human? Like, again, also a thing that has been said to justify the subjugation of black people since, you know, slavery, essentially. So it's just like so many choices where in an episode where all of these folks are space Africans would have been cringe and like pretty boring. It just become extra just like, oh, this is bad. This is such a bad optic.
It's so terrible. I think it was Will Wheaton, who plays Wesley, said like, if this episode wasn't basically like propped up by the success of the original series, this Next Generation would have been canceled as a result of this episode. And I'm like, yeah, and it should have been.
I like honestly can't believe people kept watching it, because even in 87 80, I mean, the 80s, the amount of progression in the 80s, negotiable, but this is less progressive than OG Star Trek in the 60s.
Yeah,
this is like 1940s pop culture as opposed to like some shit in like the late 80s. It's just like, what? Why? What?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And along with this, I think it is honestly just real disgusting where they have Yar being like, he's kind of hot. This is kind of hot. And I'm kind of ashamed of that. As opposed to being like, I'm at work. What the fuck is going on? Is... I think also just makes it more icky and really just sort of, I think, centers whiteness in Star Trek in a way that I think they're, for the most part, trying to varying degrees of success to, like, be like, oh, we're like, post-race, so, like, we're not trying to do this. And then to have this episode where it's, like, a white femme is in danger from, like, these, like, primitive black dudes. And she's, like, kind of into it, but ashamed of it. It's, like... What?
Yeah.
Why? Are you kidding me? And then we just get into like icky misogyny, because I'm like, again, I just, considering this is a very much like being inappropriately hit on at your job, which I'm like, I think for a majority of women is like, this is not cool or hot. This is actually annoying and uncomfortable.
Right.
And the fact that that's not played like that is very much like, it also just feels part of whatever weird white fantasy of an episode this is. They'd be right. Like, yeah, it's kind of into it. And it's like, she wouldn't be in. No, I refuse to believe that. She would be like, dude, I'm at work.
Right. No, totally. And I think with all of these things, because, you know, Star Trek, it's like always trying to like do something. Like they put that in there for a reason. And they were like, we're doing something here. And so I'm like, what are you doing? And I like asking this because in the last episode where we were like, but what are they doing? It was like, what are they trying to do with like Geordi's visor giving him pain all the time? And like one of our brilliant patrons was like, it's disability porn. It's like, look, you know, he has to like suffer so much. And I was like, oh, you're like so fucking smart. So I'm once again putting it to the public. Like, what do they think they're doing by making it so that Yar is like, no, it's kind of fucking hot, actually. Like, what? Tell us what you think it is that they think they're accomplishing with that.
I mean, I think part of it is maybe part of the trope where it's like Yar needs to be safe from her own silly feminine, like women desires, you know? I think that's kind of how I interpret it. Yeah, what are they accomplishing besides maybe compat? It's just like very confusing because I'm like definitely heard that like bisexual Yar, I'm here for this. But like nothing about the situation is sexy.
Right, exactly. Even if Yar is like kinky or whatever, like, I don't know. I feel like, do they need someone to explain like just because you are into something as like a fantasy doesn't mean that like if it actually happened to you in real life that you would enjoy it, because that's like not how that works.
Exactly. So yeah, even beyond the misogyny of like this culture being like this misogynist backwards culture, is like there's just extra misogyny built into the episode itself.
Totally.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah.
It's just, I just really can't get over how much of this is like, it's not... like, what are you doing? Like, it's not giving anything, really. It's just, I'm just like so confused about like why, like literally why.
Literally why?
All right. So let's talk about Yarina.
Okay.
What are they trying to do?
With the names?
No, well, I mean, the names are already pretty cringy, but like the sort of like weird shoehorned, like, don't worry, the like lady gets to have two husbands. And it's just like, this is what is happening?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's for real is so weird. I thought you were because like the Yar and Yarina thing. I was like, what is this? That's weird. Anyway. Yeah, totally agreed. And also like at the end, I was like, wait, so is the dude wearing blue, is he like the new chief now? In which case, like Yarina is actually the chief. In which case, like what is happening? Like, I don't think I understand anything. I don't think they understand anything about the like social structure that they have created for this society.
Yeah, because they say in the episode that Yarina has land and wealth, which is why the one dude is like, well, if Yarina dies, I get to inherit all her stuff because ladies can't have bank accounts in this world, essentially. Yeah. And it's like, wow, okay, cool, interesting. Which is like, part of me is just like, girl, why are you fighting over this, like, fuckboy? Like, what? Like, this dude fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, Yarina, you know, are too pretty for what's going on. Like, you got money and land? Yeah, no. Get a better first husband. Oh, the fact that they call them mates is just like, oh, it made my skin crawl.
Yeah, totally.
I'm like, oh, yeah, just how much of life these people are animals could you just cram in here without, I don't know, someone literally on their hands and knees, like, carrying someone on their back. It's just like, what?
Yeah, no, it's shocking.
It's just cringe. It's just like layers of cringe. It's like a Russian doll of cringe.
Yep, it is. You're correct.
I think my last thing is just these unfortunate costumes.
Yeah. The fact that they did, like, the, like, scarification thing, too, I don't know. That's one of the, you know, I was like, you guys,
Yeah, I feel like this episode, like, I feel like I literally have my notes that these costumes are what white dudes think Afrofuturism is. It's like shirtless black dudes in like shiny, vaguely Pan-African looking prints. And it's like, no, my dude.
Yeah.
This is not at all what it would look like. And all the dudes are just shirtless, like, for no reason. And it's like, cool, yeah, the guys are ripped, but I'm like, let's, like, the fact that they're all, like, shirtless and, like, sort of glistening is just like, oh, oh.
Yeah, I think it's really unfair, because I'm definitely with you on the, like, yeah, I mean, they're, like, hot and everything, but, like, in this context, I actually would really prefer to, like, not have access to looking at this man with his shirt off, because
I know. I'm like, give this dude a ridiculous metallic shirt, at the very least. It's like, nope, he's just gonna be shirtless. We're just gonna go real, we're just gonna go in on as many terrible racist tropes about African people as we possibly can.
Yeah. Every opportunity, truly.
I know. So I have one last thing.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Do you want to?
Sure. The thing that I sort of mentioned earlier when Data is presenting false information, where he's like, oh, it's called like counting coup. American Indians used to do this. Obviously, I looked it up. And it like never involved kidnapping people, actually. I didn't leave the Wikipedia article up, but basically it was like a warfare tactic that basically allowed battle to happen without people having to like be physically harmed. So like if you could make it all the way into your enemy's camp or whatever and like tag them with your coup stick, which that's a French word. Surely it has a different actual name.
You know, I looked this up too. I spent more time trying to figure out what the word what for this in any of the many First Nations that it seemed like, you know, practiced this, And I couldn't find any information about that. And I'm like, why is everyone using the French term? That is the colonizer language. Like, what is the, like, really, out of all of the hundreds of native languages in the United States, like, no one was like, yeah.
I know. Yeah, no, it's super fucking weird. Anyway, yeah, you would, like, it basically, if you could, like, tag them and, like, get out unscathed, then, like, you won the fight. Pretty fucking rad. So.
Yeah, sounds like a great way to not have to murder a bunch of people unnecessarily.
Exactly. And definitely does not involve kidnap, actually, ever. So I was like, Data, you're pulling from some false information there.
Some very whitewashed history here, which I like, can't say I'm surprised by, honestly, considering how whitewashed history is, especially American history when it comes to indigenous people. So it is pretty unfortunate.
Was that your last thing also, or you have something else?
I have one more thing. So, like we mentioned earlier, there's a bunch of quotes from the cast being like, this is fucking garbage. This is the worst fucking episode of Star Trek ever. Jonathan Frakes, I was reading some quotes from him. He was actually like, I think that this even shouldn't even be on streaming. Like, he was like, I'm surprised that this is, when they put Star Trek on streaming, that this episode was put on, because it's just so racist and awful. And I feel like I understand why he would say that, because this is just a travesty of an episode and, like, has no redeemable value for any Star Trek canon.
Nope.
But I don't think you should erase this episode, because it's, like, important to be like, you made a bad choice here. And, you know, all these black actors got paid to make this bad choice, because it's, like, can't imagine what it's like to be a black actor in 1987. So, you know, but just to sort of, like, completely memory hole it is, like, that's not great. It's not a great
one. No, I think, and that's part of a really interesting, I think, discussion about, like, what do we do with garbage, right? And I feel like this is something that I find really interesting, like a conversation that I find really interesting. And the response that I personally am always most compelled by is the, like, keep it but be upfront about it. So, like, should this episode come on streaming with, like, I don't know, maybe, like, a discussion with Jonathan Frakes about, like, why he thinks it's trash beforehand, or, like, yeah, you know, a variety of things, like, going into it where it's like, this is gross and bad. Here's why it's gross and bad. Watch it if you want to, but also you can skip it if you want to, because, like,
yeah,
content warning, this is gross and bad.
So, like, interestingly enough, you know who actually did take this approach a little bit? Well, not the discussion, which would have been the extra effort, but I want to say, like, mid to late 90s, Cartoon Network showed, like, literally every single Looney Tunes cartoon that there was.
Mm-hmm.
And for folks that maybe are not aware of it, there is a handful of, like, deeply fucking racist episodes of Looney Tunes. Like, just the worst, like, black and Asian caricatures you can think of. I mean, not to mention the terrible indigenous representation in those kind of cartoons also. And I remember there was, like, a discussion where it's like, Cartoon Network was like, we're not going to not show these, but we're going to, like, have essentially disclaimer in the front to be like, we know now that this is a fucked up representation, but this is part of the cultural moment that these cartoons came out of. Like,
right.
These came out in the 30s and the 40s. So, like, this is a thing that happened. And, you know, we know now that this is abhorrent, but we're not going to pretend that this didn't happen.
Right.
Which is, like, I think surprisingly progressive of them. I'm actually not sure, honestly, if... Because I think Looney Tunes is, like, on HBO. So don't... Or on, it wasn't streaming. I don't know if the episodes are available to stream. Probably not, considering how... I mean, how terrible of the streaming landscape is. But, I mean, I think it's important to be, like, this is a thing that happened at this time. Like, we can look at it and be, like, wow, that's fucked up. I mean, I think this episode could use more context, because it is also like, this seems pretty, like, far beyond a, like, just, like, normal baseline racism of the 80s. This seems like extra racist.
Yeah, totally.
So I would love to know more context about the whys of this episode.
Yeah, and I think, too, for a lot of people who are, like, watching it for the first time as, like, adults, I think this is an episode that could make someone decide that they're just not going to watch the whole series. Like, I very nearly, like, gave up on the idea of watching Star Trek as a result of this episode. And I think that having something at the beginning that at least gave the indication that, like, this is not what you're in for as a rule with this show, yeah, would be, like, a good business move, you know? Like, I feel like I'm always on the lookout for, like, what if doing the morally right thing was also good for business? Because I feel like people love doing things that are good for business.
Yeah. And I also think that it would also be great if you had an intro with, like, Jonathan Frakes or, like, Will Wheaton. So, like, the burden of having to be like, this episode's fucking racist isn't on the black cast members.
Right.
The white cast members can be like, yo, no, this is fucking racist.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
What a bleak time for the show for us to have made this episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, I do wish there was even, like, the, like, hint of the disclaimer to be like, this is real racist, everyone. But I'm glad they didn't at least just, like, not put it up and just pretend this didn't happen, because it's like, oh, but it did.
Right. Yeah. Welcome to Editorials, where we rant about stuff.
I have not political rants.
Yeah, I was in a less angry way.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Yar is, once again, out of fucking control. She is the single biggest threat to, like, the safety and, like, reputation of Starfleet as a whole. The fact that she is, like, she just, like, flips that dude because he's, like, walking to give something to Picard, and she, like, pops up and is like, give that to me, actually. And he's like, what are you doing here? Like, I didn't even get the impression that he was like, I don't want to give it to you, so much as he was just like, where did you just come from? I'm trying to give a thing to your captain like a regular fucking person would. And she just, like, flips him onto the ground. I'm like, fire this woman immediately.
Yara's just out here giving the rest of us chaotic bisexuals a bad name.
She is. Like, she can be, I don't know, man. Just whoever made her chief of security needs a new job that is not promoting people, because she is not qualified. She has zero self-control, which I feel like is so important for being the chief of security.
It's, like, so extra. And part of me is like, you have a whole literal supercomputer, like, there isn't that not scanning shit? Like, come on, y'all, like, what is happening?
I know.
Causing a diplomatic issue, and hadn't even said, like, three words to each other. Yeah.
I mean, we are, you know, technically four, but three episodes into this show, and she has created a diplomatic issue twice. Like, she is so bad at her job. I just can't.
Yeah, it is. It's really something. I, like, don't even have words. I'm like, I don't even know how to end that sentence. Yeah. I'm just like, yep, you are correct.
It's going to be just, like, such a relief, like, taking, like, a big breath of air when Worf becomes security chief and you're like, oh, finally, someone who can, like, hear something that makes him not happy and respond like an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, honestly, before we started watching these first couple episodes, in my brain, I'm like, no, Worf is the head of security. I'm like, so I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, yeah. Okay. Speaking of this confusing opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Picard and Yar and Riker and Troy getting this vaccine. why the fuck isn't Beverly Crusher there? She's literally your ship's doctor. If you want someone to examine the vaccine and make sure that it is what it is, you should have your fucking ship's doctor there. Like, whatever Crusher is doing is not as important as this right here.
You are very correct.
It's so bewildering.
Yeah, no, that's so weird. What a great point.
Yeah, you know who wouldn't have caused a diplomatic incident?
So true. Crusher and her just, like, unbelievable 80s hair in this episode.
It's so big. It's so 80s.
It's so 80s. She is related to my next point, which is, like, my favorite thing. Picard having to interact with a child in the show, making it a huge deal.
So weird.
Crusher's like, can we talk about Wesley? And Picard basically is like, ew, no. Like, he just is so like, why the fuck would you ask me that? And she's like, you're gonna let him on the bridge. And then they go out and, like, you know, Wesley, like, pokes his head out of the turbo lift, right? And Riker sees him and comes, like, running over, like, oh my god, a child is in Picard's vicinity. He's like, I'm so sorry, sir. I will get him out of here. And it makes me so happy that it's like, everyone's like, oh my god, Picard is actually going to murder this child. We need to do something.
Yeah, the quickness in which Riker is like, it is my job to get between Picard and any children, which, again, for the record, everyone, Wes is like, what, 13?
Minimum 13.
So, and I just, because I feel like as someone who is uncomfortable holding babies because they're so fragile, I'm like, someone handing a, like, screaming baby to Picard, I can see that. Wes is a teenager. Yeah. Like, what? It's just, it's so funny, but also just, like, deeply confusing, because I'm like...
Yeah, he's not at the, like, stage of life where, you know, if he gives you a hug, he's going to leave, like, something sticky and amorphous on your uniform. Like,
right.
He's a grown-up, you know? He's a young adult.
Yeah. Right. He's going to go to Starfleet Academy in, like, literally 4 years. Like, come on.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just... So that already is very funny.
Yeah, when Picard's like, no, Riker, it's fine. Riker's like, no? Like, the look on his face of, like, sir, like, are you sure? Because, like, I'm still 80% convinced that you're saying no to trick me into letting this child into your arm's reach so that you can kill him. So, like, can we verify?
So weird. Poor Wes. But Wes gets to sit on the bridge this episode and not get yeeted into space, which is, I think, what everyone is expecting to happen.
Exactly.
All right. So I have, like, one more thing.
Okay.
Which is, I think it is deeply, deeply weird that Picard is like, shoot off some warning torpedoes into this, like, planet's atmosphere. I'm like, isn't that going to create a bigger diplomatic issue than what is already happening? Because that seems so aggressive for Starfleet.
Yeah, no, I also was like, what? It's so weird. I have no fucking idea.
I feel like, I'm like, the paperwork after this episode must have been fucking awful.
Yep. Okay, so my last thing is that I have this thing when I watch Star Trek where I sort of, like, actively retcon that, like, only the person wearing a communicator can hear what's coming out of the communicator, because, like, that's the only thing that makes any fucking sense. And so when I'm presented with situations like this episode where, like, Picard says, go ahead, we're alone, and then, like, everyone can hear, I get, like, really upset. I'm like, don't make me know that, like, you're fucking communicator is just broadcasting to the entire room. Why are you on speakerphone all the time? You need to have private conversations so frequently. Like, what the fuck, you guys?
This has literally never occurred to me until you said this right No, you're right. And I think this feels like a very, like a thing that pre the point where for whatever reason, everyone is just like on just their speakers of their phone is just always happening. I think that maybe wouldn't have occurred to me. But considering we live in a world where because let's get rid of headphone jacks, everyone's like, I'll just play my music and be on, watch a video and be in my conversation for everyone to hear. So deeply irritating.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Oh yeah, my God. And if you're in Starfleet, you know, like if you think about episode one, when they're like walking around Farpoint Station and like trying to have like this, I think things are a little suspicious conversation. It's just blaring, like just blaring so that like anyone there can hear it and be like, oh God, they're on to us. Like, you guys, get a Bluetooth earpiece. Like, what are you doing?
I'm about to say it would not be that hard to be a like, and then it like resonates frequently right into your ear canal because of this.
They have subdermal universal translators. You can't make it so that your fucking communicator is only in your own head. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is truly a failure of the imagination for that one.
Yeah. Welcome to Advertisements, where we talk about ways you can support this podcast. And I want to start by thanking Marike for leaving us a donation. And if you want to leave us a donation and have us thank you on the air, you can do that at #ruthless.com. Also, if you message us after you join our Patreon and tell us what podcast to thank you on, we can thank you on the air for that, too. We've also got really great merch. We have a cool sticker club. There's so many cool ways to support us, most of which get you really cool stuff in exchange. And you can support us for free by leaving us a 5-star review or donating a sticker club design or helping us with transcripts, because we like to have transcripts. We really like to have everything as accessible as possible. But currently I'm broke as fuck and can't afford to pay the person who does our transcripts. So if you want to help us make those happen because you have time but not money to support us, check out our website. Everything will be in the show notes.
Yeah. And, you know, we are 110% listener supported. There are no ads for you to fast forward through because we don't have them. Anyway, we don't have any because we are anti-capitalist punks, unfortunately living under capitalism. So, yeah, if you enjoy listening to us and want us to continue to get paid, because this podcast is run by the two of us, there is no larger hidden staff of 3 to 20 people. It is just Lark and I.
Yep.
Our Patreon and our merch at a variety of different price points for a variety of different budgets. So if you like what you listen to, check us out. Information's in the show notes.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the personal section where we talk about sexy stuff. I'm so curious to know if our one thing here is going to be the same thing as each other.
Actually, I have two things. I'm mostly just sad that Yar and Yarina did not just make out and were like, fuck that dude.
Yeah, no, that's really legitimate.
It's like y'all are both athletic, you know, you're really pretty neck and neck in this fight, and it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So. I liked the part where we see that Troy has, like, not recovered from finding out about Tasha's crush on her in the last episode. She's been, like, sitting with this because she's like, listen, everyone, totally makes sense that they're super into Yar. She is really hot. So
that is like essentially verbatim what she says too.
I appreciated it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also the Data Geordi joke conversation, I'm like, it's flirting.
Oh,
it's the only other good part of this episode. I'm just like, That's right. This funny conversation about how to make jokes that neurotypical people like.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Next time we will be discussing episode 5, The Last Outpost. That is, assuming we become a Star Trek podcast. As of this recording, we aren't totally sure yet. Probably put out an announcement once that decision is made, which will probably be like, because this episode that you're listening to right now is part of that equation for us. So like 2 weeks after you listen to this, there will be an announcement in which we tell you which way we're going. So stay tuned. So check the show notes for everything once again. And until next time.
Two to beam up.
Also, I found a website where I can download the chirpy sound. So I'm going to put it in.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job, nerds.
I know. It's so great.